Welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. Today, we have the tremendous privilege of having Pastor Ray Duick here. Pastor Ray, you've been with us for a number of years. You're like furniture. I think that's your favorite way of me describing you.
It is.
And
polished furniture.
Polished furniture, because you're so polished. I like that. What a delight to have you here. It is so good to not only have you on staff, but have you as a friend, someone who prays with me, for me, and certainly serves Cloverdale Baptist Church with incredible effectiveness. When we staffed you, I think, with care and outreach as the focus. I think since then you've become the filler of all holes. Is that pretty accurate?
Some holes.
Some holes. Now, I've appreciated your passion for the church and willingness to serve in a number of different areas.
Yeah.
I think coming out of COVID, one of my, at least I hope we're coming out of COVID, one of my key areas to focus on is discipleship. How do we help people conform to Christ or have Christ formed in them? You know, be those who are walk worthy of their calling, kind of the Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, or imitators of God as dearly loved children, living lives of love, or make disciples, however you want to term that, to make sure that Christianity is something that is relational and impacts us because we believe God is real and relevant. I think one of the areas we struggle with that as a congregation, certainly as a culture, is in the area of outreach. And so I wanted to talk to you about that, your passion for us having a culture of evangelism or a culture of outreach, what that means and how we develop that, and then maybe even interacting with anyone listening to this, certainly from our congregation, the congregation God has called us to serve, but maybe others as well. How can we be engaged to making sure we're living on mission for God? So I think the first question I'd just like to ask you is, we talk a lot about at Cloverdale Baptist, we want to be a church that has a culture of evangelism. How would you define that? What is that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And outreach and then evangelism flows out of that outreach. But a culture of evangelism is basically where everyone is responsible for doing it. In other words, it's not just one person that's been hired to be the evangelist of the church, but rather I now have a culture of evangelism, or this is how I want this to be a way of life for the entire church. So culture talks about how we dress, how we act, how we live, and what our values are. And so a culture of evangelism is that very piece. I need to be responsible for my neighborhood as if I'm the only one that can do it. So, for example, I leave my porch light on at home every night because I see myself as the lamp or that light in my neighborhood. And so every time I think, oh, I'm going to leave my light on, it is that light that I want to shine into my neighborhood. Now, the important part of that is that can be scary, right, to think of evangelism. And that's why we need to be careful that we break it down into these bite-sized pieces so that we talk more about conversations, talking with people, normal stuff that happens every day. But there are ways of getting us into the habit of doing that. And we'll talk about that later, I'm sure. But we want to give all of our time and our energy to the unchurched friends or neighbors or coworkers that we have, and want God to give us those opportunities. Now, sometimes we get so scared we have opportunities, but we don't say anything, and that gets to be another problem.
I think that is a problem. For me, where I really appreciate what you shared, and I really appreciate the focus of Cloverdale Baptist, is that I think traditionally we've seen evangelism as a program. So if we do the program right, it'll be accomplished, or we throw money at the right person, or if we somehow, instead of seeing ourselves as representatives of Jesus where he has placed us, and I think you've worded that very, very well. So where he has me in my home, in my neighborhood, porch light on, where he has me at work, where he has me at school, wherever it is, I represent him. And so then I need to live my life in such a way that people can see Jesus in me, and then I need to be ready to share. Or I think what you have said, kind of that everyday living, we look for those opportunities. So maybe just help us understand that a little bit better. If I'm saying, okay, I hear you pastors, you say culture of evangelism, that means I have to actually be someone who's an ambassador for Jesus. I have to be a true disciple. What are some things that I can do that are bite-sized, or how can we grow as a church in seeing that culture flourish at Cloverdale Baptist, or I suppose more specifically in the individual that's listening to this podcast?
Yeah, instead of saying I have to, I want to turn that into I'm willing to because I'm following Christ.
Even the privilege of it, right?
Yeah,
It's wow.
And
I
that's
get
important.
To. Yeah.
Because else it becomes kind of like I have to exercise, or I have to be on a diet. I have
Pharisaical
to.
Pharisaical almost.
Instead, I want to because the outcome is good.
Yeah.
I want to introduce Jesus to a friend because of the outcome, not because I have to, as if I checked it off my list. So that's the first thing I'd
like to say. So moving away
from
religion into privilege.
That's right.
Yeah. I like it.
That's right. And so when we look at programs, or if we look at a minister of evangelism, then we kind of say, okay, that guy will do the job for us. But I can only do one person's job.
Yeah.
So if we have a church of 500, 700, 1,000.
Yeah, COVID's hard to tell. I don't know anymore.
That's
we have
right.
tons that are watching online, but I love them.
But imagine if all of those people,
yes.
500, all were doing what that one evangelist is supposed to do.
Yes.
In other words, the 500 people are sharing their faith where they found bread of Christ.
Yes.
If they share with someone else. The part of the problem with evangelism, we want results quickly.
Yeah.
We want to be able to say, okay, this is a justifiable position because, hey, he led 5 people to the Lord this year, or 10 people, or 20 people.
Yes.
And we need to look at it a little differently. But the bite-sized people is simple thing as, I know you've got a dog and you go on walks.
I do. Are you talking to me personally?
I am talking to you personally.
I do have a dog and I do go on walks.
And how easy it is then when you encounter other people with dogs to strike up a conversation?
Very easy. And actually, I walk in a pattern now. I'm trying to walk a little bit more. And I run into the same people
exactly.
every day. And
exactly.
we're building relationships with those people.
That's the key. Building relationships so that you can then formalize those relationships into times where we at the church might have a special event where you can invite your friends, neighbors, unchurched people.
That's where the program kind of comes into play.
Yeah, so the program is a doorway, as I see, to, for example, if I am an unsaved, unchurched person, I want more than just one person's example of how this works. I want to kind of kick the tires, so to speak, of what am I joining here? What is this person talking to me about belonging, surrendering, giving my life to a new faith-based program? Are there other people than just this one person? And he may be a Calgary fan, and I'm not. And so
I'm a Canucks fan, so you got to get that right. You got to get that accurate.
So there's these bites. So, for example, I know a person who tucks into his pocket a tract, a gospel, a piece of literature that he can easily give to people. He'll walk around and he'll see people. He'll meet eye contact with some and not with others. But that causes him to then pray for that as he circles again the block of that park, and he will then give that tract to someone. Some will take it. Some will say, no thanks, but others will take it.
Yeah.
And that establishes a further
conversation piece or something. Yeah,
yeah.
I've heard stories, amazing stories. In fact, just this week, I heard of someone who used one of our books that Elias had created that has in there a pattern for sharing your faith, and they used that book to lead someone that they were very close with to Christ. And so I think it's those sort of tools, those sort of things, but it's that constant awareness that we represent Jesus and that my role is to actually be the church, not give money to the church so the church can somehow do something
precisely.
In their community, but actually to live it out. I think that's so important. I think that's how programs can help this. And we have those programs at Cloverdale. And I even think, and Pastor Ray, you and I talk about this once in a while, if we don't have the programs, come see us.
Right.
Because we want to see, let's say you're a dog walker and you love walking your dog and you want to create a club for dog walk. We want to facilitate what God is doing. And as the Spirit leads you, we would love to see that overflow and impact others yeah. so that many are coming to know Jesus in all sorts of different avenues.
So part of my job is to excite groupings within our church to have those opportunities for people. So the men's ministry, that they'll have a time where they especially allow friends to bring other friends
yeah.
to an event, or the ladies, or the children's, or the youth, to have those special times that I'll come alongside and say, here's how we can do this.
Yeah.
Here's
so
how
it's
we can
not only
people.
To get everyone understanding before God, they have this privilege, this role, not a duty, although
right.
it is a duty, I suppose, to, but this privilege of, hey,
yeah.
I get to represent the God of the universe in
That's
my
right.
community, but then also to have an opportunity to bring that person into family. I think I heard last 3.7 people or something it takes to share the gospel with a person before they can come to know Jesus. I think it's just the Holy Spirit, but it's
yeah.
interesting how the Spirit uses his people. And we get that privilege of being a part
That's
of that
right.
plan. So as we're talking about this, can you just tell me if you're going to share the gospel with me in 2 minutes or less, how would you do it?
So that's a bus coming to a bus stop, two
yeah,
minutes,
coming
right?
to a bus stop. I see the bus coming. I want to get on. I'm a little nervous because there's this pastor next to me. Go.
I find that that sometimes the programmed way that we approach the gospel and presenting the gospel is not exactly what people are wanting to or know how to hear. We like to start with the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man, and that we need Christ who paid the sin and so on, and that we need to make individual decisions regarding that. But I'm finding that people, one, don't care about a holy God because they feel that he's unreachable. They also are saying that they really aren't that sinful because, and I still remember my mechanic saying, hey, I'm a pretty good person. I didn't kill anybody, as if that makes him a reasonably good person.
Well, good in comparison to Hitler, I suppose.
Never mind, he's had three wives and he's got children all over the place yeah. And he's shady about his deals.
Yeah.
If the culture
defines holiness, it's pretty easy to be a good person.
So to give a two-minute talk to someone and you don't know where they are, and people are no longer accepting the Bible as authoritative.
No, that's true.
So to say, well, you've sinned, the Bible tells you that you've sinned, they don't care about that part. So to have conversations, we really need to start where they're at. For example, I was waiting for a friend who was doing a bank deposit, and I was going to take him out to lunch. And he said, could we stop at the bank? No problem. So I was waiting at a place, and I realized that I was standing close to the lottery line. People were buying lottery tickets.
Yeah, I saw you there. I was going to talk to you about that later.
And I wasn't a winner. I didn't play. I've never played. So it was very easy to strike up a conversation with a person in line who looked at me, and I said to him, so have you ever won anything? Have you, you know, and so as we talked, I began to sense where his values were. I found out that he had a sickness, that he needed help. So my response was, would I be able to pray for you? And he was shocked. He was dumbfounded to think that anybody that he hadn't seen before would actually be willing to take time and pray with him.
So if I wasn't a pastor, could I still pray with someone?
I think you should be able to, yes. I hope so. Though it's funny how reluctant we as Christians sometimes are to do the very things that are fundamental.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, Pastor Ray, I really like what you're saying, because if you look at the pattern that Jesus had, mm-hmm. it changes all the time. And I can remember as I was studying that one time being shocked at how often it changes. And I think because he dealt with people as individuals, which is in essence what you're saying. Now, I do think there's a content we need to cover so that people can believe in the God of the Bible. And that probably is what I hear you saying. Correct mm-hmm. me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You're saying relationally we need to get there so that we have that opportunity. So it's building blocks really from where they're at to the God of the Bible
right.
and then to a proper understanding of
yeah,
self.
I call them gospel conversations.
Yeah, I like that.
Where you may not start at the same place. So in describing salvation or the gospel, we often say, we explain the fact of salvation being God is a holy God. We have been sinned, right, as I said before.
Yep.
But the entry point to our conversation may not be at that point.
Yeah, you just have to make sure you covered it.
That's
at some
right.
point.
We need to circle back. We need to make sure we cover it.
I really like
that. And that's so important that we do that.
I like that. So I might enter in on my brokenness. You
right.
might enter into my pain, and then I realize my pain is a consequence of sin, whether
Precisely.
It's sickness, a consequence of original sin, or my own sin maybe. I've wrecked my life because your friend who had three wives can't have been happy with his current position in life. So.
When you look at Christ's ministry, what we want to do that he did so well was build curiosity into why I helped, why I showed kindness, why I prayed with you.
Why I
so
have
that,
this hope in me.
Exactly. So why would Jesus talk to this woman? There was a curiosity. Why did he say to the person, carry the goods for a second mile?
Yeah.
He built curiosity into that soldier or into that person. Why are you doing this? So I want to build curiosity into the person that I'm helping,
yeah.
maybe fixing his car or picking someone up that's whatever.
Yeah, I had someone in our church just cleaning garbage out of their neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
I think, you know, 1 Peter 2:11 and 12 has been very special to me in terms of evangelism over the years. That whole idea of abstaining from fleshly desires which war against your soul, that's 2:11. But 2:12, live such good lives among the non-Christians that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he returns.
We don't want to leave it just as good deeds.
You don't.
Because we want to make sure that evangelism.
Yes.
Or that evangelical.
I call it outreach. Pastor
outreach,
Ray.
Thank
yeah.
you. So that there is that gospel. So it's not yeah. just conversations.
No,
it
I
is
totally
gospel.
Agree.
So our intent.
Yes.
When I wake up in the morning, I need to, and I encourage all of us to
yes.
pray and say, God, how can I recognize the opportunities that you'll give me today
yes.
to share my faith, to show kindness, yeah. that will allow curiosity to build
yeah.
so that next time they'll wonder, why did he do that? Why did he pick up the groceries for me? Why did he?
Yeah.
And then I can explain, again, with that in my mind,
and
I want to share the gospel.
Yeah. and covering the five. I'm just going to run through the five key points just to make sure everybody listening has them. God is a holy God and hates sin. I am a sinner and fall short of his glory, and there's nothing I can do to earn or deserve. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for me, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again, conquering sin and death. And if I believe in him, if I surrender to him as Savior and Lord, I can find reconciliation, eternal life, and forgiveness. And if I don't, the consequences of sin is death, and that's eternal.
Separation
eternal
from him.
In hell.
Yeah, the importance is that needs to be a personal, it has to result in a decision.
Yes.
A surrendering, a decision-making
yes.
so that I want to follow him.
Transactional,
that's
relational,
right.
Yeah.
That's
I think so too. And that one-time event then becomes a pattern of life that we then disciple these people in.
Because knowledge is not good enough to just know all those things, but rather to say, I will surrender, I will decide. I like the word surrender in that I'm sensing more in people's lives, that's what I need to do. I need to surrender more than just believe this.
You know, I think so too. I think believe is the biblical word, the Romans 10 word, but I think sometimes we think belief means just intellectual assent.
Right.
And we want so much more than that. I like surrender because it brings that lordship concept in where we just say, he is my everything. He is my Savior and Lord. Surrender. I like that, Pastor.
Right.
I'll start using that. I just think that the biggest thing I would want our people and people listening to this to take out of this is we have the amazing privilege of representing God. And he has placed us in his sovereignty. If you think Ephesians 2:10, he has given us good works prepared in advance for us to do and placed us where we're at and made us who we are so that we can walk in them. And so I think, and you've said this so well, that awareness, that desire to be on mission for him and then living for him in a way that shows others how great he is, such an amazing privilege. Anything you'd want to close with?
If we see people as needing the gospel, it will really change our conversation. I think too often we see people as kind of put well, they're put together well. We hang out with people that often look very much like us, and we almost see it as if they're doing okay. But if we see them as they truly are and what will result in their lifestyle, we'll see them as people that desperately need Jesus Christ because he makes the difference in their lives.
Now and for eternity.
That's right. They are lost sheep that are wandering and are getting to trouble, are into second and third marriages and boyfriends
and broken.
Other children and into drugs and addictions and COVID loss. And they desperately need an anchor in their soul. They are lost. They're in trouble with the bank. They're in trouble so many places and they're struggling.
And there's hope.
There's hope.
That hope
and that's the thing.
Christ.
If we realize that that's who they are now, Christ wants so much more for them. There's so much more for them.
And we need to live in that relationship with Christ to find as well. So really what you're saying, sum it up, God is real and relevant to us. And that means that apart from him, life is not only super difficult here, but for all eternity. Let's see others as God wants us to see them. I think really 2 Corinthians 5 talks about that, right? Therefore, I will see no one else with earthly eyes. I now see through those eyes of Christ.
I mean, would you want to live without Christ in this day and age we live in?
Never.
It would be extremely difficult.
Well,
if not impossible.
And for all eternity, every time we do a funeral, you and I have the privilege of doing a number of those.
Yeah.
The only hope we have. Well, Pastor Ray, it is a privilege to have you on our staff. You are a precious brother, a partner in the gospel, and I thank you for helping our church build a culture of evangelism.
Thank you. We'll keep working at it.
Okay.
Together.
And to God's people, let's live on mission for his glory.
Amen.